And welcome back into another fantastic new episode of Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so happy to be welcoming back an incredible artist, the playwright Joshua Piper, who's joining us today to talk about his new full-length work, Cafe Americano. It's part of the Fresh Fruit Festival, and his show is playing April 26th through 28th at the Wild Project. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting freshfruitfestival.com. Joshua spoke to us a little bit about this the last time we had him on our show, and it was an upcoming work in progress. So we're so excited that the full length is now being put on here in the city. And so with that, let us welcome on our guest, Joshua. Welcome back to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Hey.
Nice
to see you.
You too. I'm so excited that you're back and you've got this full-length play, the Cafe Americano. We touched on it lightly last time, and now we get to dive all the way into it. So can we start by having you tell us a little bit about what the show is about?
Absolutely. So Cafe Americano is about two people. The first person is a playwright, screenwriter, actor from Texas. He's lived in New York. He's gotten a lot of success very young. He's about 24 at the time of the play. And up to this point, he's had very good success and just lots of accolades to him already. And around this time, his husband passes away prematurely. They had just gotten married and, you know, one of those freak things that happens in life sometimes happens and he passes away. And so in order to sort of grieve and, you know, write his way out of things, he moves to Paris to start writing his next play, and he starts journaling as a way to try and sort his way through grief. And then the other person that the play focuses on is a barista from San Francisco who also lives in Paris, and she finds out that someone in her life is about to really, really hurt her. And it's about how she is sort of in isolation, trying to find her place in the world. And the play kind of, the whole conceit is how their lives intersect through chance and perhaps how through grief, sometimes we find the people that we need to find joy in such dark times.
That sounds amazing. Wow, what a powerful tale. Where did you come up with the idea for this piece?
I was actually rereading something that inspired me recently, but I was reading there was this guy, Ned Roram. He was born in the 20s, big composer in the 50s. And he has these diaries of his adventures in Paris and in New York and in Nantucket. And I started reading them. And I just found his take on life so interesting because he will just say things that are kind of out of pocket while still displaying insecurity and displaying all the like complex emotions that we have. And since this is his diary, you know, you kind of get to know him fully as a person. And his work was so intrusive. It kind of got me thinking about, you know, what would a play look like if we took all of the internal thoughts of someone and put them on stage? And so I started going down that route of like, how do I do that? And I basically set it up that, you know, the whole show is these two people's diary entries. And through the diary entries, we get to delve into, you know, like still lives of the memories that they have and the things that are happening in the world around them. And it's just something that like Ned Roram's diaries are something I really latched on to. And a lot of people consider him a bit of a gay icon in the sense that he was so willing to talk about his experience and like the kind of stuff that's like that we as people don't like to talk about, of like who he hooked up with and, you know, like the kind of stuff that's like really so intimate that it's almost hard to admit it to anyone, let alone yourself. And so I wanted to create a play that was sort of along the lines of that. And so in the beginning of the like script, it says, you know, I made a dedication that says to Ned Roram, you know, he passed away actually while I was writing this play. And I said, you know, rest in peace. I hope you know that. I really would have liked to meet you. I think we've been really good friends. It's truly crazy how much of an impression this person has put upon me, despite us never having met, just because I got to see his life through his diaries. And that's just something that I found interesting.
That is amazing. What an incredible backstory. So we are about, at the time of this recording, 2 months away from the show going up.
Yeah.
But So far, what has it been like developing this work?
Oh, it's been interesting. This is a piece that I wrote the first draft, and I wrote it in a week. I was holed up in my, I go to Wagner College. I was holed up in the library for a week. So much so that my housemates were like, are you okay? Do we need to call like a doctor? Are you dead? So I finished the first draft. And originally I thought it was going to be like a one person show, and then it wasn't. And then it became two characters, and then it became a bunch more characters. And within writing that first draft, I was like, I think I really have something here. And I submitted it to the New York Theater Festival just on a whim, because I was like, I hadn't, you know, done something like that before to that extent of like doing, like mounting a full production on its feet at a theater in New York. I had done it at my school, but just not in New York and, you know, in the city. So I did it on a whim. And a couple weeks later, I got the email that was like, hey, we'd really like to produce this. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, that's really cool. And so I started to get to work. I found a director. His name is Jason Cahalane. He goes to Pace for directing. He's awesome. And he'll be directing this iteration as well. But basically, we started, you know, talking about the play. He read it. He was like, I really love it. I'd be honored to direct it. And I started, you know, doing the classic writer thing of like second guessing every single thing I had wrote. But the great thing was I got to go into this process with someone who was like, no, this is good. Like, keep going. And so I really have to thank a lot of the people who were around me at the time I was writing this, you know, my parents, Jason, just everyone who's around me, like everyone who's around me currently knows that this play has been, you know, something I've been putting everything into. And it's been really cool because we did the show and it went through probably four drafts before we actually did the show the first time. And then it went through a few more drafts because I applied to grad school for playwriting. And I sent it in for grad school because a bunch of the people who had seen the show, you know, were older than me, knew a lot more than me, were, you know, just in general, like, had more life experience, and they were expressing that I was writing something that they really identified with and something that was really heartfelt and really, like, you know, really meant a lot to them. And so when I sat down to send in things to grad school, my dad was like, Josh, people were crying at that show. You should just send that show in. And so after a few more drafts, I sent it in. And I've gotten some of my admission stuff back, and it's going great. So I'll be very excited to see how that goes. But yeah, and then I sent it in for the Fresh Root Festival after rewriting it again after I had sent it in into grad schools. And the manager of the festival, Frank, called me and was like, hey, I remember you from last year. Would love to talk to you about this play. I think it's really interesting. I it's really cool. Would love to talk about it. And we would love to give you a slot. And I was over the moon to be working with them again because they were awesome. And the Wild Project is the cutest little space. And I just, it's so awesome. I'm so excited. And, you know, so we're starting casting and all that, and we'll see how it goes from there.
That is so exciting. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love that. So with this great piece, this wonderful historic person that you reference, is there a message or a thought that you hope audiences take away from Cafe Americana?
Oh, absolutely. I think my, like, the message that has sort of stuck in my head is sort of the idea of just, I know it's scary to say the things that we think sometimes, and in the scariest place sometimes is our brain. And you just have to know that the world is going to lead you to the people who are going to bring you joy in those moments, and you have to somehow trust that. And as hard and as crazy as that is, like, we have to trust that there's joy somewhere, and that we will find it, and that we will be led to it. And I say that, like, sort of regardless of whatever belief system you have, I think in general we have to believe that joy is coming our way, and we have to you know, keep fighting and surviving and trying to see what's around the corner, because what's around the corner could be beautiful. And so I think that's what I'm trying to sort of nail down with this play, is just the idea of, like, there's someone beautiful around the corner, romantically, platonically, whatever. There's someone beautiful around the corner who's going to tell you where to go next. And you will probably tell them where to go next, even if y'all don't know it. But that moment y'all have together is sacred and incredible. And it's those people in those moments that we have to cherish. And yeah. And also just in general, like cherish it all, live now. Like all those things of like, let's just like live now and cherish it all. And, you know, love it all while it's here. And when it's gone, we have to find a way to be happy that it happened. And I think that's just, and maybe that's because I'm a senior in undergraduate school. So maybe I'm saying that out of like nostalgia, but we have to be happy for what happens. And when it's gone, we still have to figure out a way to like consolidate that in our brains. And that's hard, but you know, we have to trust that something good is around the corner and it'll find us, or we'll find it. And that will be beautiful.
That is so lovely. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I am loving this.
I'm glad.
So my final question for this first part is, who do you hope have access to your show?
I was actually thinking about this recently because, you know, like the classic arts administration of like, how do I market this show? How do I, you know, all these things. I think some of the people that I want to have access to this show, I definitely say queer people. I think there's a good amount of like the queer experience in this. And specifically, like, there's a specific amount of like gay culture that has been put into this piece in the sense of how gay dating looks and how we look at how I have found a lot of gay male presenting people look at dating. I think there's a lot of that community will resonate with. But I think beyond that, I think, and this is so crazy to say, but like people who are older than me, because I've realized, I was talking to a bunch of people after the show went up the first time, and a lot of them were like, you know, I didn't know someone so young could nail it on the head like that and talk about grief in such a way. And whenever I did it, I was playing the playwright, screenwriter, actor, and my friend Hayden, who's I love so much, was playing my husband who had passed away. And Hayden's mom sent Hayden a text, who then sent it to me. And shout out to Hayden's mom, basically said, you know, I didn't know someone so young could get it so right. And sort of locked into this scene that's sort of towards the middle of the first act about the character I played, you know, talking about how he had the habit of saying table for two for so long. And even though his husband is gone, he still has that habit, and how heartbreaking it is to have stuff like that. And I think it's stuff like that that really makes me hope that, you know, people older than me will get to see this show. And I think also just people who have lost someone or feel lost, because I think this show is all about the world leading you back to who you are and who you want to be. And yeah, I hope that in the way of like me saying like the world will lead you to the people that you need to meet, I hope that the people that need to see this show will be led to the show. And I hope that like through some kind of providence, they will find this show, and even if for a moment it makes them feel less alone, then I feel like my job as a playwright, as an actor, as a performer, as an artist is done, because that is everything I could hope for as an artist.
Second part of our interview, as you know, we like to give our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a bit more. And as absolutely, I've mentioned several times, this is your second appearance on our show. So I actually want to start by asking you, how did you come into the performing arts?
I can't remember what I said on my last interview, but I started doing performing arts in sixth grade. Performing art, I guess, includes music. My mom had me doing piano lessons at a very young age. I was like, music was my life for a while. I started theater in sixth grade, and I was a shopkeeper in Aladdin Junior. Sorry. And it was something I really enjoyed. And that was partly because of the like community that my theater director at middle school had created. And then I started doing community theater. And that was really when I think I really like launched into performing arts. But I did community theater at this place called the Katy Visual Performing Arts Center in Katy, Texas. And it was called the KV Pack. And I would go every Wednesday and I'd rehearse whatever weird, crazy, kooky show that we were doing. And I would credit that place a lot with a lot of the reasons that I'm, you know, on this interview here today doing theater. But yeah, that place was really like a cornerstone for my, you know, development as a young artist.
Oh, I love that. Yes. Shout out to Origin Stories there, and shout out to the organization. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
I would love to know, what changes are you most looking forward to in the theater?
Oh, this is actually really interesting. I was talking to my friend Maddie about this recently. She had gone to see How to Dance in Ohio, and she's talking to me about the pre-show where they like say like, this is what the lights look like, and this is what the sound sounds like, and this is what the orchestra sounds like. And I really loved that, honestly. And I appreciated that because I think it benefits so many more people than I think we as a community realize, to give those, like, as trivial as some of those things can be, like, you know, to some of us, an orchestra can just be an orchestra and it'll sound however it sounds. But, you know, obviously there are neurodivergent people out there, and there are people who are on the spectrum, and they should absolutely be allowed and encouraged to be a part of this, like, great space that we have. And I think that How to Dance in Ohio, sadly, since it closed, like, I think it did something really brave and really cool by even just incorporating a tiny little pre-show announcement that's like, this is what everything's gonna look like, and we have rooms for you to go to just in case you get overstimulated. And yeah, and I think that was just a really cool thing to hear about recently. And I'd also say, going down that track, I'm really excited to see, hopefully, more theater that incorporates people who are under the disability umbrella, if you will. I think, you know, like, one of my dreams has always been to work with Deaf West. I learned sign language in high school. I took it again in college. I wouldn't say I'm fluent, but I'd say I'm pretty highly conversational in it. I have talked to deaf people, and like, I'm waiting for the next Deaf West Broadway revival, very honestly. It's overdue. We need it now. But yeah, no, that's another thing that I've been thinking about, is just like, in general, I'd love to see more work like that, because I think we're starting to make really good strides in the department of writing stories that are not just, you know, that like including people of color in the narrative and including queer people in the narrative. I think we're doing, like, we're making strides in that area. So I'm really hopeful that we will continue to make strides in including disabled people in narrative and including them in this space, because they have every right to be in that space and they should feel empowered to be in that space. That's what I'd say. I'm excited to see, hopefully, see that sort of change coming to theater soon. But, you know, we'll see. And Deaf West, if you ever need anyone, I would love to work with y'all. Thank you. Had to put that one in. So sorry.
Man, I hope they listen to the show. That would be amazing.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
What a wonderful answer. And I could not agree more with you. Well, I know we asked you this last time, but I just love asking our guests my favorite question, which is, what is your favorite theater memory? Or, since this is your second time, what's another of your favorite theater memories?
I will say probably my like newest favorite memory has been pretty recent. I had a short play of mine be produced at The Tank for the International Human Rights Arts Festival. Shout out to them. They're awesome. And shout out to The Tank. They're awesome as well. But it's a smaller piece that's a part of like a bigger play I've been writing, but they gave me the opportunity to showcase it, and me and my friend Ralph performed it. We had some understudies as well who got to perform it on campus, and a bunch of my friends from school got to come see it, and it was just awesome. And we went to this bar after, and like I think I count this as a theater memory, because it was like it was on the coattails of a performance, and I think some of our best theater memories happen like at the cast party at Denny's at 4 a.m., you know? And yeah, I just got to hang out with a lot of people who I really hold dear to my heart. And it was kind of a reminder that, like, I have every ability to do this. And, you know, I think it's so common to have those fears of, like, am I capable? Is this going to happen? Like, am I good enough to be in this business? And I think it was a moment where I was like, where it reminded me something that, you know, currently at school that like they have been trying to drill into us, is like, we never have to be quote unquote good enough for the business. The business has to find us where we are. and like it has to find us with like who we are and who we want to be. And I think that was just a moment where I felt like the arts industry had found me as the person I am and had let me do this, you know, performance. And I got to do it in front of a bunch of people and a bunch of my friends and a bunch of the people that I'm, you know, like that will sit in my brain for the rest of my life and sit in my heart for the rest of my life for that matter. And, you know, I'll get to look back on that memory for a really long time of just like drinking in a bar next to the tank. I am 21, to be clear. To be drinking at a bar next to the tank. And yeah, I think it's those memories that will mean a lot. And I'm very blessed to have memories like that. So yeah.
That is a fabulous memory. Absolutely incredible. And let's be honest, if you didn't go to Denny's or Village Inn or something after a show, did you really even do theater? I mean.
Yeah, no, actually.
The grown-up version of Denny's and Village Inn going to the bar. I love that. What a great memory.
The grown-up version of going to Denny's or Village Inn is definitely the bar.
Yes. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug?
Yeah, absolutely. This is something that I'm finishing up pretty soon, but I have three of my own plays that are in the Queen's One Act Play Festival, which has been so much fun. And shout out to the Secret Theater. Shout out to Cassandra, who's the stage manager. Everyone I've worked with there has been so awesome. And all the people I've met, so cool. So cool. Shout out to every single one of them. Go see those shows if you can. But yeah, I'm currently working on a musical at school called Me and My Girl. It's a fun little show. It's directed by Brian Scambotti. He's awesome. And then I have a short play. I have a couple short plays that'll be produced at my school at the end of this semester. One of them is called The Paper Boy. The other one is called Again? Question mark. So like again as a question. It's like again. And those are being directed by some awesome students. And then I am potentially working with the Equity Library Theater on producing another short play later in summertime. But we'll see. I'm very excited. And so many things are happening. And, you know, the most interesting thing coming up on the line probably for me after this is whatever grad school will hold for me in terms of admissions. But I've been very blessed so far with, you know, admissions and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, we'll see what decision I make when we get there.
Well, that is so wonderful. I'm excited to hear where the universe places you for grad school. This is incredible. And I'm so excited about all these other projects coming up. And it makes a great lead into my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Cafe Americano or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Absolutely. So my Instagram is joshua.t.piper. I have a New Play Exchange account. If you go into New Play Exchange, my name is Joshua Piper on there. A lot of my plays are on there. Feel free to reach out to me there. I transferred from my school email recently, so I'm now using joshua.t.piper512@gmail.com. I'm currently working on fixing my website because it was not looking good. So whenever I have that ready, y'all will see it. But yeah, feel free to reach out to me. I love talking to people and I love getting to know everyone. And I'm so excited to work with so many cool people. Truly, truly feeling like the universe is very open. And it's been so awesome to work with so many cool people recently. So if you're one of the cool people I've been working with recently, y'all are awesome. Hope y'all know that.
I love it. What wonderful just enthusiasm and humbleness that you have. You're just amazing. So I can't wait to see everything you're doing. I can't wait to see what's next for you. And to top all that off, I'm just thank you so much for coming on back on the show, I should say, and sharing this amazing work.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been really awesome to like get to talk to you again, and I'm sure whatever comes next, I'll let you know. But yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. My guest today has been the incredible playwright Joshua Piper, whose upcoming full-length play Cafe Americano is playing as part of the Fresh Fruit Festival. The show is playing April 26th through the 28th at the Wild Project, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting freshfruitfestival.com. We also have some contact information for Joshua, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But join us, come on out and support this incredible playwright. You definitely want to get on the ground floor so we can all say we knew him when. As I mentioned, his full-length show, Cafe Americano, is playing April 25th through the 27th at the Wild Project. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.